is calling for laborers to in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, on heavenly manna we're fed, while souls o'er the ocean in darkness are starving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God pay them the debt that we owe them.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. Once again, we say a pleasant greeting to all who are listening to XEG. This is the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma, with your speaker, Willie Murphy, coming to you for another of our Friday evening visits. First, I would like to say a very personal thank you to all who have been helping to make this broadcast possible, both by their prayers and offerings. We have been hearing from some new listeners, and we certainly welcome you to join with us each Friday evening here. And of course, then too, there are some who are receiving the printed copies that we welcome you to our number also. We do trust in God and pray that God will richly reward each of you. Surely, if there was ever a time when we needed to be about our Father's business, it is now. We're living in perilous times, and none of us are able to foresee what a day may bring forth. But in the words of that now familiar song, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. Indeed, the greatest consolation that one could have in life is the assurance that they are led by the Spirit of God. In fact, the Word says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Even so, as others in bygone days have been led by the Spirit of God, I believe it is possible for us to be directed by the Holy Spirit, even with evil abounding on every hand. For today I have a subject which may be a little unusual. Nevertheless, I am of the firm conviction that it is a vital one, even though it may be unpopular. Here it is in Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 through 19. I quote, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Now, you know God did not call upon us to write the Holy Scriptures, for he used holy men of old to write these inspiring passages as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, he does call upon each one of us to give heed to his word. For he says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is not our responsibility to sort out and accept from the word of God that part which pleases us most and leave the balance for others to do, but this verse says emphatically that a man shall live by every word of God. This means, then, that God requires of you and me that we be found faithful in handling his word. This I am endeavoring to do. Now notice again the first text. Here we find seven things enumerated which the Lord says are an abomination unto him. The first one of these things is designated as a proud look. I don't know why this one would be first mentioned, unless it would be one of the things which God hates the most. We do know that he says in Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19, I quote, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Here we see that God places a premium on humility. For the word teaches us in James chapter 4 and verse 6, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Pride then comes forth from an evil heart. It is a wicked thing, and it is an abomination in the sight of God. Therefore, it should be guarded against and uprooted and should find no place in the life of a Christian. Now, it may manifest itself in many ways. The first text mentions a proud look. This would just be one of the ways in which its presence might show forth in the countenance of one who possesses this characteristic. In addition to this, his words, no doubt, would be spoken with pride. And from there, no one is able to tell what the limitations of pride might lead one to do. This would also include his manner of dress, besides a multitude of other things which springs forth from a proud heart. Now, if you think that God is not concerned about the way we talk, the way we look, and the way we dress, consider this verse in 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, in verse 9. Here mention is made that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. This goes for men, too. Further mention is made and spoken against the wearing of gold, of pearls, or costly array. Friends, let us be honest with ourselves and with God. His people are a holy people. Let us not try to make excuses and look for ways whereby we may bypass the Scriptures, but let us embrace them, accept them, and obey them. In doing so, our hearts will be blessed, and God will have a people which will be a real example in this world, which is filled with those whose hearts depart from God because of a proud look. Now listen to the words of this poem by E.U. Cook. A publican and Pharisee went in a temple once to pray. One was as proud as he could be, the other one the other way. The proud man said that he was glad, thanked God that he was just and true. He gave one-tenth of all he had, and did not do as others do. The publican himself did smite, and from the public view retired. But like the widow with her mite, his gift was all that God required. Some little children once were brought, that they by Jesus might be blessed. But somehow his disciples thought that he by them would be distressed. Forbid them not, our Savior said, but suffer them to come to me. He placed his hand on baby's head and placed the baby on his knee and said, those who to heaven come must be just like a little child. And his disciples then were dumb, perhaps were once more reconciled. I'm glad, friends, that God is willing and ready to accept those who are of a humble and contrite spirit. Let us remember, God rejecteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If we would find grace and favor in the sight of God, let us humble ourselves. Let us seek Him diligently, that we may be acceptable in His sight. For pride will certainly separate from God and keep us away from the things which are good, the things which are upright, and the things which will make our hearts rejoice. Friends, I see right now that I have chosen a subject far too big to be covered in one broadcast. We have only briefly touched upon the first thing which is mentioned in our text that God hates, that is, a proud look. If God permits and the Spirit directs that way, we hope to take up some more of those things which God hates in the future. Let me emphasize again that if there is anything which God hates, we should certainly beware of it. Let us spend a moment in prayer. Our gracious Father, we know that You understand the secrets of every heart. Therefore, we open the contents of our heart to Thee and pray that You would cleanse us. And not only us, but also all those who are willing to accept Thy word. We pray that You will purge out all things unlike Thee. Make us useful and profitable in Thy service. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Listen out of the words of this song, From Death to Life, as sung by Bobby and Doral Forbes, Randall Flynn, and Melvin Doolittle.
From death to life, oh, what a thought within my soul, what changes wrought, my power divine, no tongue can tell, one thing I know, for me 'tis well. From darkness unto light sublime, through my Redeemer's matchless name, for this He left His home on high, that I should not forever die. Oh, praise the Lord for victory, from death to life He lifted me by His great love and power divine. Eternal life is truly mine. Of resurrection I confess has taken place with Him.
Yes, think about it, friends. A resurrection from death to life.
From the dead, and now I live with Christ instead. And when I lay this body down to mold and crumble in the ground, my ransomed soul shall fly away to one long bright eternal day.
This broadcast has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like to have a printed copy of today's message, you may have one free of charge. There is no obligation on your part. Until next Friday night at 11 o'clock, this is Willie Murphy saying may God's richest blessings be yours and a very pleasant good night.
He shall bend and I the Lord of life shall greet and worship at His blessed feet.